Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It was a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Rich Gaiman's here. Rich is one of our favorite folks in the Brain Trust. 20 years he's been hanging out with us. He's here today, folks, as an American like me, and as someone who values history, who appreciates those who's on whose shoulders we stand. As a fellow baby boomer, I know he feels that way very strongly. We've talked about it many times, and so I've asked him to join us in this segment and talk a little bit about what we're doing today. We're commemorating the 75th anniversary of D-Day. Rich Gaiman, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. I don't know anybody else who I'd rather have here today. D-Day. I want to go through some numbers real quick. I'm going to round them up, folks. Almost 7,000 Allied vehicles. Vessels, boats. Almost 160,000 Allied troops. Almost 12,000 planes. 73,000 Americans. And they stormed the five beaches there at Normandy. Oh, by the way, I have to mention my paratrooper forebears. 23,000, almost 24,000 airborne troops. And Rich, as you know, they didn't just jump out of airplanes and under parachutes. They actually, many of them were rode gliders to the ground. That's how they got that's how they got the generals and the top leaders behind the lines was to put them in those airplanes. Most of this early stuff, Rich, was done in the dark.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just going to say. The paratroopers led the way. They flew in the night before. Yeah. As I understand it, the agreed upon first men to hit the beaches, or at least be let out of the landing craft, were at 6:36 in the morning.
Yeah.
But by that time, the paratroopers had been inland for 4, 5, 6 hours to try to get control of the beaches. So that when the amphibious troops got up to them, the Germans couldn't resupply because they would have already blocked. But they were behind line. They were behind the line.
Thousands and thousands died or were ambushed. Folks, if you wanna get a feel for what it was like, Rich, I can think of no better place to send them than to the opening scenes of Saving Private Ryan. I had to stop the movie and collect myself.
Yeah, and that's what Steven Spielberg was looking for, and he did it.
I did. It's astonishing.
My son and I went to Normandy on D-Day week 7 years ago, for our 40th anniversary. My wife sent us both there, and we walked along the beach, which, as luck would have it, was extremely low tide, and we almost couldn't breathe, reliving the horror that must have faced these men. Looking up that long, expensive beach with nothing between them and machine gun fire.
You're not prepared for the emotions, are you? That you feel when you're in hallowed ground like that. You just, folks, if you ever get a chance to go somewhere like that, we talked about this before. Any of the memorials in Washington D.C., you won't be prepared for the emotions. Rich, one of the things I mean, everybody, and rightfully so, talk about all the things that happened. But I think we should talk a little bit about why these guys did this. They were fighting for Western civilization. They weren't just fighting for America. Heck, they weren't in America. They were thousands of miles away in a land that they've never seen before and fighting for people they didn't know. I'm talking about the Americans who went over there. But in truth, they were devoted to something greater than themselves, and the result of their efforts saved Western civilization. Maybe the world.
Absolutely. I mean, were it not for the United States, and not only because we had more land, more raw materials, more people that we could put into factories, more boats that we could build, more guns that we could build, but because Americans rose to the occasion And there was not there before Pearl Harbor. There was it wasn't like there was a great move and get us into this war, FDR. It was quite the opposite. It was keep us out of this war, FDR, because like the Europeans, you know, they had just finally stopped panting with fear after World War One, and now here comes. Actually, as I've written many times, World War One was only called World War One when World War Two started. We didn't know we were going to have to.
It was a great war. It was a great war before that. So, Rich, one of the things, but look at the legacy. Look at the bequest that they made to us. In those men and women who sacrificed all during that time, your parents, my parents, look at what's happened in Western civilization. Notwithstanding some of the stupid things that the Soviets did and that Russia is now doing, still basically we've been at peace. And for thousands of years before that, that region was not.
No, that's right. It was a constant state of war. Somebody was always fighting somebody. That's part of the unfortunate DNA of the human species.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, the good guys rose up against Nazism and Hitler and the Japanese on the other side of the world. And we forget about that because for some we're drawn to the European celebrations. But there were a lot of D-Days. You know, in the march across the Pacific and the island hopping campaign, I wrote in my column for today that, you know, D-Day is not just one day in one battle.
It wasn't just on Omaha Beach.
It's the way that they designate these things.
That's right.
But you're right. Were it not for America, this would be a world maybe not worth living in.
Yeah, I think that's right. And folks, so as you have quiet enjoyment of your life right now, I hope sometime today you'll stop and slow down a little bit and just sort of think about those young men. They were all in their 20s. Some of them were teenagers. My dad, you know, wasn't in that war, that battle, but he's in others, and he was 20, and your father was too. And so stop and think about them and realize that we're rich. The peaceful, quiet, soft existence you and I have is because we stand on their shoulders. Last thoughts.
Exactly, and I don't know how it was in your family, but my father didn't see my older brother until he came home from the war.
That's right.
He was born right after my dad was
my
drafted.
His
son was 4 years old before he ever laid eyes on him.
My dad didn't have a furlough for 3 years. That's their devotion, folks. That's what they did. Mullings.com, folks, that's how you find Rich. Subscribe to his twice weekly cyber column. Hey, Rich, God bless you. Take care of yourself. See, thanks for being here.
And you, my friend.
Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. Quick break, 20 after. I'm Jim Blassie. See you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.